NetCredit is here to say yes to a personal loan or line of credit when other lenders say no. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partner. NetCredit, credit to the people.
What is up, everybody? Welcome to Better Golf Podcast. I'm your host, Spencer Aguiar, and I am excited to be joined for the third major of the year by my partner, Nick Bretwish, who you can find on Twitter at StixPix. But before we get started on the show today and give you our favorite fades, plays, and top options to consider for any of the markets that you want to talk about here or that we will discuss, I want to very quickly talk about Underdog Fantasy, the proud sponsor of this podcast. Underdog is now offering their new Pick 8 special, where you can add 8 selections to your pick'em entry and win up to 325 times your money. Code BGP gets you an additional first-time deposit offer up to $250 in bonus cash that you can pair with a special bet. So if you aren't doing so already, now is the perfect time to sign up over at Underdog Fantasy. Nick, it's good to have you back, man. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm excited for the U.S. Open. I have already narrowed down my player pool, which I feel like has given... I'm trying to tweet this damn link. Here we go. We're good. Link's tweeted. All right. Player pool is settled. I think there's maybe some people you could change my mind on, but other than that, we're locked in. I have pretty much like 45 players, so a little heavy of a player pool for my liking, but you'll kind of get the gist of it. I'll start. I'm fading Scotty. For the record, I do have hand builds with him. I think like Monday morning, right when the player pool comes out, I think I probably put him in like 10 lineups just because at that point I was like, all right, he can't lose. It's impossible. But then, you know, as I go on, I think you have a great breakdown on not necessarily supporting fading Scotty, or advising maybe is a better word, but why he can potentially be beat. But other than that, I'm excited. You and Byron crushed it last week. It was pretty fun to listen to that on my way home as I was out of the office, but appreciate him hopping on and filling in for me there. And you guys did a great job. And God damn, we were so close with Colin Morikawa, but Scotty had to ruin golf again. I did like seeing him actually have a fist pump when he made that pump on that putt on 18, showing a little bit of emotion. I feel like I'm not anti-Scotty, but like, come on, let's get a little fired up out there.
That's the kind of stuff that happens when you go to jail. You get hardened up.
That's true. Yeah, he did hard time. All right. Where do you want to start? You want to go through your bets real quick? I know that I love your outright card. Now that you mentioned it, I did end up taking Zalatoris at 100-1, which is terrible, but he's getting his distance back a little bit. So I don't know. Maybe he's just iron play away from everything clicking, but I don't like that ticket, but I do love your outright card. So what do you got?
I went very heavy at the top, and you can hear a full breakdown of that on the Links and Locks podcast at Action Network. That is, it's going to be out in a couple hours. I don't know exactly when, at what time. We just filmed it a little bit ago, but I took this approach, and you can kind of get more of that, of what Nick is discussing with my Scottie Scheffler fade in that area, where I think there are some golfers at the very top of this slate where golf is right now being viewed as a big one. And I tend to think that even if one player is the one that's winning all the events, from a statistical outlook, it's actually more of a big three where, yes, one of them has separated from the rest of the pack, but the other two are putting together finishes where if you could just give them each an additional victory, I think this would be looked at a lot closer. So some of these numbers have moved. I got this early on Monday. I took Xander Schauffele at 13-1. That was at Bet365 inside their enhanced market. Bet Rory McIlroy at 14-1. That was over at Bet Online. Hideki Matsuyama 55-1. That was a Bet365 number also. And then I closed my card with Minwoo Lee 85-1. You can still readily, for the most part, find 80-1 available. Nick, you mentioned that you have a player pool this week. The last I had talked to you, I don't know if Minwoo was going to be a part of that. If he's not, what are the chances that I can convince you to actually putting him in the player pool?
He is in my outright card. Dude, I'm seeing like 14% ownership on Minwoo Lee. I think on principle, I got to be out. It's a great price. Like, don't get me wrong.
Okay, let me ask you this, so like, Nick.
Go ahead.
I was just very quickly, you don't have to give me all the places. I mean, not that it matters. It doesn't do anything for anything we're talking about. But where is the majority of that ownership coming from where you're pulling?
Data Golf, Stochastic, and Roto Grinders is a lot less. Let me pull up where Minwoo is there. I got to refresh too. No, Minwoo is at 14% on Roto Grinders.
So on
$7,300, like it's a great price.
Data Golf, where is one of the ones that I use the majority of my pulling from, and I have not updated this for the record in.
Oh, they're at nine.
Four, yeah, at nine. I have 9.85 was the last update on my end.
So here's my dilemma. I would rather go all the way the fuck in on Sam Burns and potentially even Tom Kim. And here's another thing is I kind of do like Cameron Young to where I want to, like, I feel like he's going to fall under the 5% range in this range because everybody's going to go to Minwoo or Tom Kim, probably. Maybe Sam Burns. I just don't understand why Sam Burns would be sub 10% when he's a great driver of the golf ball, good short game, great putter, obviously, like all that good stuff. And his iron, his game is in good shape. I don't know. Yeah. I don't really have a reason to fade Minwoo Lee. Like Roberto, if it's 13, I'm out, but Roberto talked about it. Like his driving accuracy is on the come up, like significantly to where like he was in 2023 and 2022. The guy had maybe never hit a fairway.
Yeah.
Short game's awesome. That's the thing though. His short game has not been awesome this year.
It has not been. That is one of the weaknesses in my model. Before we move further into this.
Could that be that he's hitting way more greens in regulation? Which is why you love him.
I mean, he's hitting more greens. The iron proximity has improved or is very good from 175 plus yards. A lot of the stuff from within that still has massive red flags inside of my model. I guess, I mean, naturally based off of that answer, he's going to be better. I want to very quickly, Nick, before we move on. I saw Scotty in the chat say that Rory's getting back with his wife. Is that factual news? I have not seen this yet.
I miss Scotty. I have no idea. He would know more than me. Is that true? I'll go to news. Oh, yeah,
it is.
Divorce off as couples resolve difference. Damn it. We should fade. He was. What's going on? What do you have? Like a 2-weeker with Amanda Baleonis? And he's like, you know what? This isn't working. I don't get it.
I'm less bullish on him than I was before.
Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Scotty. That is what really matters here. I don't know. I mean, I still think that he's a fantastic play. I think you said it best with Xander and Rory. Like, those guys can get extremely hot with a putter, and that's how you can beat Scotty Scheffler. But I don't know. I don't have strokes gained divorced, and then you know what? Amanda was not as good as I thought. I don't know. I don't want to dog on her either. She's a nice girl. I've never met her, but Amanda, if you're listening, I'm sorry. I mean, all this with utmost respect, but I'm still fading Scotty. I'm not paying 13,000, but I would not advise you guys to do that. Like, he is the best course fit by a million.
I guess, I mean, and I'll let you talk about some of your betting card before we officially move on, but let me just ask you this as we're on the topic right now. And then once you give me your card, we can move into this $10,000 range. But what ownership do you see on Scotty, and what is the difference between Scotty to the rest of that pack, which, I mean, I guess is going to be DeChambeau, Rory, Xander for most, I guess Koepka too, I guess those four.
My aggregates have Scotty at 37%. I'll take the over. I don't see how many people have the balls or the lack of brains, potentially in my case, to fade him. Rory at 17, Xander at 22, and who else? John Rahm withdrew, so no one else in that conversation. I don't think I've updated with John Rahm withdrawing, but what was he going to get? 5 to 8% max. So I don't think it changes a ton.
I had him at 5%. I'm probably too low based off of my numbers compared to yours. I definitely trust your ownership more than mine. I have Scotty at 40.28%. I would lean towards that probably being more accurate. On the other end though, with Xander, I only had him at 16.5%. I do tend to think that you're probably right that he gets into that 20% or higher range.
Yeah. What do you have? Let's get into some questions. Yeah. If you guys got questions, fire them up. Morikawa is not in that conversation of pricing, so we'll get to him, but My betting card is Minwoo Lee. Also, you did talk me into that. So I get it. I think the upside is completely there. I think everybody's going to steam him up. I do think he's going to close around the 12 to 15% ownership range. And if he misses a cut, I think that's a landmine I could avoid by some other guys that I do trust a little bit more in that price range, mainly Tom Kim, Sam Burns, probably even Sungjae. I think that we both convinced ourselves that he's back.
Yeah.
Rory at 12 to 1. Tommy Fleetwood at 44, which I stand by that pick. I like that one.
I do too.
And I did it again. Tony Finau, 75 to 1. So Circa has Tony Finau 75 to 1 and Tommy Fleetwood 44 to 1. Tony Finau's probably never going to make enough putts to win, but it's coming to life a little bit. Just a little bit.
Let me take a couple of these questions that have been asked. I think there's been some good ones. So Jacob said, what's a reason to not put the house on Hideki? The answer is always injury and putter. Those are the two things that come into play for him. He's going to be a statistical darling when you build a model. He's inside of the top six for me in any way that I ran it. Do think the outright number is nice. I have that ticket myself. Zach Jeffers, can we get back to CBez this week? I have a head-to-head bet. You can still find it at bet365. Bezadenhout -125 over Adam Hadwin. I got it at -120. That number ballooned up at the book that we took it at into the -140s. That -125 price is still doable.
Do you look at that as you are backing CBez or just fading Hadwin completely?
Both.
So I'm not high on either. Okay. Bez is like, what do you have his ownership at? 12? We're just going way off
the ownership right is board. The ownership is massive inside of my model. So it makes sense why it would be. He's a $6,200 golfer who has been, it's almost the Sepp Straka argument of this, where those are going to be the two chalk plays in the $6,000 range, just with the results that we've seen. But I am fading Straka. I think with Bezadenhout, it comes down to an ownership game more than anything else, but I like him here. I think he's, which is a weird answer to give, and this doesn't mean he's making the cut, but I do tend to think for as volatile of a tournament as this is, and for a golfer that is absolutely horrendous off the tee in all metrics, whether that is distance, accuracy, anywhere you want to look, he is very robust in all the other areas.
Best finish in the major, T30 in 2021, but his ball striking is the best it's ever been. So
he's a different player now.
Very true. All right. A local ringer at greater than 1%. I will go with Scotty Scheffler. Easy question. Thank you, Casey. Stick around. That's easy. I like that. All right. Let's go to the top of my board here. 10K and above, here are the four players that are in. Brooks, Bryson, Xander, Rory. Again, disclaimer, I do have like 10 hand builds Monday morning with Scotty Scheffler. So if the Masters thing happens again, which I would love that to happen again, that would be why. Brooks, I'm having a hard time reading. I feel like his ownership's going to creep below 15%. Everybody was kind of on him at the PGA and the Masters, and I feel like now that love's lost and he's just not really a sexy item this week. I think he's a perennial driver of the golf ball, hits the ball very high. I think he'll have no issue stopping it on these greens. Bryson, I truly did want to fade. Xander, I can't say anything wrong about him. He's my favorite player in golf. For some reason, I bet Tony Finau more than I bet Xander. But Rory McIlroy as well, same thing. The divorce thing, though, I like Scotty. We should take a stand, just get him out and start at Xander. But I think Rory has a ton of win equity in this tournament.
I do too. To me, there's, I said, the big three more so than the big one. So I do like Scotty. Like, I still think he's playable. He's playable. And
absolutely.
I'm not going to go as far as, like, I don't want that to be lost to where I know you're not saying this either, Nick. It's this is you being aggressive with your builds. It's not a testament against what Scotty Scheffler is or isn't going to do here. But I guess when I look at my board and I wish even at 5% ownership, like I would have eaten up a little bit of ownership there with Rom. I don't know where that's going to necessarily move at this moment. It's probably going to go because Xander is the easiest to get to. And maybe that's where my increase or my lack of increase that I have right now on Xander is not showing up for popularity, but Scotty, Rory, Xander, that's kind of where the majority of the win equity is. I am much, much, much lower than consensus on Bryson DeChambeau. You could sell me really one way or another on Brooks Koepka. I tend to think, though, that this $10,000 range has so much more win equity than what we have in the $9,000 territory. So
yes,
I like the big three there. I'm going to play the big three, and I could make a pretty sound argument to get rid of everybody else.
I love it. All right. So in terms of cash games, we talked about a lot of the ownership there. Scottie Scheffler, I think, is a lock in cash, right? I mean, he's literally a walking top five. High ownership, I was surprised at. Great question. I think Minwoo Lee is going to come in a lot higher than what most projection places will say. Christian Benzaden, how'd I get? He's a clear miss price. Sepp Straka, I saw like close to 15% at 6,500. And then Benny On up there pretty high too. What are your thoughts on that?
I like Ben On.
Fuck.
You want to talk about apex and players that fit this course?
He hits the piss out of the ball.
Yeah, as we're moving across this, I see Trevor's question about what Adam Scott's upside looks like for me. I know you're very high on him, Nick, and we can have this discussion as we move forward, but I think he's a borderline top 30 sort of an upside play, which I guess is an...
It's a value at that price.
It's a value based off of where we're at right now. So I worry about what the actual upside ends up being. He's a model breaker every single week, and I never quite seem to get the results that I want from him. But a good spot for Adam Scott. I know he's a golfer that didn't think he was going to be playing this tournament.
Yeah, that's true. So it's you would lean Bryson over Brooks in that upper tier?
No, I would lean Brooks over Bryson.
I want to get Bryson out of there. All right, 9K. I absolutely love Victor Hovland. I think everybody probably loves Victor Hovland. I love Ludvig Åberg. Morikawa, what can you say wrong about him? I think in cash games, I probably got to play him too. So I have Scottie Scheffler, Bez, Morikawa, and Sam Burns currently. Would you fade Morikawa? Like I'm making my MME for the Millie Maker, so it's like shooting for the moon type of shit. So I should probably, I don't know, I can't get rid of Morikawa. He's got significant top five upside, and he's 9,400. Seems like a misprice.
I would rather, if I'm being honest, just get fully rid of DeChambeau, and you can sell me one way or another on Koepka.
I feel like I just don't want to miss Brooks going off when not many people play him.
That's fair. I don't have a problem with him being in the pool. He's a value across the board, and he's neutral when it comes to leverage for me. So I don't have anything wrong to say about him. DeChambeau and Rahm before Rahm withdrew were the two worst values that I had in that upper tier section. And then for the most part, the rest of the $9,000 range, you either have no ownership with options like Cantlay and Clark, or I don't want to say, Nick, that I'm out on Victor Hovland. He is fine. I have no issues with him. I would just rather get up once again and put those funds towards if I can get up to Xander and just reconstruct lineups that way, or play Åberg or Morikawa.
Okay. Well, you like Åberg more than Hovland?
Yeah.
Okay. Nice. Seems like projection systems do too. So I had to like manually pump Hovland because I do like him a ton. And he's a great Pete Dye player, is he not?
He grades fine across my model. It's one of those things, and I mentioned this yesterday.
Or Donald Ross, sorry, not Pete Dye. My bad.
I mentioned this yesterday on the Roto Baller show, but you take Victor Hovland specifically. We are one major championship away removed from nobody wanting to play him on DFS. He was a 50-1 option. We aggressively backed him in that tournament because I think we thought that had moved too far in the other direction. But now you've shifted this into this spot where he's 9,800. He's sub 20-1. He is fine. I would rather take the upside on Åberg or my general safety that I have on Morikawa.
That's fair. Okay. I have one other guy in the 9K range that is in my player pool. That means I faded Wyndham Clark, which I don't think is a ballsy move at all. I just think he's broken. I'm going to keep that going. I don't mind Patrick Cantlay. As much as if Wyndham Clark's broken, Patrick Cantlay is broken too. But what are your thoughts? I mean, he hasn't hit a fairway since Augusta, which everybody hits fairways there. Do you hate Patrick Cantlay? I know the market does. The ball striking, like, they didn't show many shots. I watched, I think, the actual, like, his stream on PGA Tour Live on ESPN Plus last week, and I thought he would hit it okay. His strokes and putting was miserable.
I like Cantlay, and I like Wyndham.
You like Wyndham? What'd you like in Wyndham? In terms of leverage, I get both of those guys are solid plays. Wyndham's driving the ball well. Obviously, he always does, but accuracy's good. Memorial, how do he hit the ball iron-wise? Let's pull that up. Pretty good. Miss a cut, but...
I full faded Wyndham last week. I thought he was the trap of all traps. I talked about this on the show with Byron that I wanted nothing to do with him in DFS. I took Tony Finau in a matchup against him. Those are two golfers to where, more so with Wyndham, it's a little bit with Patrick also, but you get a price tag here where they're going to be so overpriced in the eyes of the public that nobody is going to play them. And this is where we're talking about leverage and where we can get into any of those answers. But what I always like to see, if I'm willing to go against what the consensus is in either direction, and specifically here when we're talking GPP contest, I want to see a positive trajectory into my model for upside. If you can deliver a positive trajectory for upside, I am so much more likely to ignore some of the recent form and shoot for that when we have sub 5-6% in those areas. There's going to be a ton of volatility that's going to come into play with both of those options. Cannot make an argument that either one of them should be priced where they are. And if they were $8,000 golfers, well, the price tag would be more relevant to where they should be. All of a sudden, the ownership would be higher. So it's a give and a take in that spot. I am willing to take a gamble. I've said this a million times, and this is not one of those spots where I like to call my model the Wyndham Clark Whisperer. Had him last year at the US Open, had him at Pebble Beach. There's been a lot of spots where it's been right on him. Correctly faded him last tournament. I wouldn't say that this is some aggressive approach since he is a negative value for me, but Nick, he does jump inside of the top 15 for pure God. Upside here. So that's where I am intrigued to at least want to bite the bullet and I'm not going to full fade him. He will make lineups and he will find a way to get fit in with different players.
All right. First in pod edition, I'll get some Wyndham Clark. Do you hate Cantlay? Or like if you had to choose one or the other?
I like both of them. I think they're very close to one another.
All right. JT is in my player pool. JT out for Wyndham Clark in.
I mean, that's how I would lean.
I'm not going to hold it against you. Very long.
We'll be sure to get this player pool up to about 75 players.
Yeah, that always happens. All right. I'm putting Wyndham Clark in some stuff then. Wyndham, we got room for you in this lineup. There we go. All right. AK range. Who did I fade? Let me pull that up. Cameron Smith, Will Zalatoris. Even though I bet Will Zalatoris outright, I'm okay with that. I think that was a stupid ticket. No going back. Probably going to fade JT now. I don't know about Max Homa. I think it's a great price. I'm surprised more people aren't on him. I think he's just safe, and I don't want to miss it. Like, I look at these guys, like, who could finish inside the top 8 to 10 and not surprise me. I want to push the lock button on Tommy Fleetwood just because I don't think anybody else will, because I know the whole narrative of he can't win, but that is fine at 8,500. I have a lot of Matt Fitzpatrick, a good bit of Finau, and Hideki. I want to fade so bad, but like you said, he is a stats darling and every single model is going to love him.
Yeah. I would say for me, I'm out on JT, out on Cam Smith. There are some numbers for Cam Smith when it just comes to his safety and the way that he approaches some of these venues. I don't know if it matters if you don't ever find a fairway and you run into some struggles there. So I'm out on Cam Smith at the ownership that we currently have. If this was going to be a spot where there was no ownership around him, I would have been more inclined to take a shot in that direction. Homa, I think, is fine. Great leverage to consider. Like Tommy Fleetwood, probably Fleetwood, Fitz, and Hideki would be the three best values in this section without looking at ownership. Probably going to be out on Tony Finau. I'm out on Zalatoris.
What do you not like about Finau besides his history with us?
I have him outside for upside of the top 25 for me. You could maybe sell me a little bit differently on this if you could give me an ownership percentage that's lower than what I have, but I don't really want to get caught on any of these names when I'm probably going to already take the route of playing the chalk with Fleetwood and Hideki. I don't want to, and maybe even Fitzpatrick in that. Like, I would rather lose all that dead weight of the 10 to 12% guys like the Thomases, Smiths, Finaus. There are players I would rather have than them.
Okay. That's cool. Matsuyama, just push it.
I'm going to unfortunately bite the bullet with Hideki and probably regret doing it afterwards. This is a different spot though. And we've talked about this quite a few times, Nick. When you look at Hideki and he is a popular choice at $10,000, that is a much different route that we are considering than Hideki, who's $8,000. I'm much more inclined to just say we are getting a good value here. I will eat the chalk in this position.
Fair. All right, 7,900. I'm keeping Jordan Spieth in the field. Something has to give. What is going on? How is he hitting the ball so well off the tee? And the iron game is terrible.
Yeah, when you left Links and Locks, Roberto asked me my take on Jordan Spieth. And
lock button?
I don't know if I go that far, but I tend to agree with you that he is very playable as a guy that... Like, I keep talking about this.
His wrist, like, Ed, I get it, but if it's his wrist, why is he hitting the driver? I know, like, there's no impact to the ground. Obviously, that's a big differentiation. Like, my wrist has never really hurt in golf, but I could feel the reverberation from the ground when you're taking a divot and hitting down on the ball with an iron as opposed to hitting up on driver. But even when he's clubbing down, he's mashing it too. So, I don't know. He hasn't missed a fairway in a long time. Strokes gained off the tee is by far the best of his career. I feel like he's going to close at like 5% and I'm okay. I'm a fanboy. So like I could make peace with doing it, but like, would it really surprise you if 7,900 Jordan Spieth in a course that doesn't require like birdie making for the most part to finish inside the top 15?
It's the same answer in a lot of ways, just for cheaper, that I talked about with Wyndham Clark and Patrick Cantlay. There's no ownership with upside in my model and safety numbers that are going to just be horrible, and the safety numbers are what's going to push everybody off of him.
Yep. Okay. I'm glad you're on that then. Tyrrell Hatton staying in my player pool. You hate him?
Another guy.
I've never got him right.
The upside's better than the safety. I'm fine with him.
Shane Lowry blew up my total driving. Can't make a putt.
I'm out on Shane. Where to me the value is. And you texted me asking about that range from 74 and down. Like outside of, I'm not really that high on Corey Connors. I am personally out on Cameron Young if you move it up $100 more. But everybody else in that range would be the players that I am trying to figure out a way to get to. It's Ben On, Sung Jae, Min Woo, Tom Kim. I like Dustin Johnson. Faded Jason Day last week, like Jason Day this week.
Yeah, that one interests me. I did fade Ben On. I see 13% with Ben On in my aggregates.
Yeah,
I'm okay. He's been fading him.
He's been trending up just because I think that's a data golf thing where this started. And I don't necessarily love him as much in the outright market as data golf seemed to. But when I ran my numbers initially, top 20 player for projected win equity, which is going to obviously put him as a value when he was over 100-1 to start this, inside of the top 20 for me for safety and overall rank, I have a hard time getting off of Ben On. Even if you look last week, and I had a head-to-head bet on Saturday of Ben On over Zalatoris, entering the fourth round, Ben On should have been, if you just took his baseline short game, and his baseline putting is never a good thing, which means he's even worse than that. He should have been inside the top 10 of that leaderboard. And when you usually get these positions where a player is striking the ball really well and you only can get up to a 22nd place finish, there's more potential that's there that I don't think he produced. And It's unfortunate because Datagolf somewhat ruined this game by saying he's the best value on the board, which I unfortunately agree with them as him being one of the best values. It's just value is value when you're looking at a 7,100 price. I could make a really strong argument for almost any of those guys that we talked about, Tom Kim included, where they should be $8,000 or higher. And in a major championship, you get a suppression of a price in a lot of these spots. And it's why you get soft pricing. And it's why it makes it very easy to get to a name like Scottie Scheffler, because you have options. And I've seen Russell Henley's name pop up a million times in the chat already. He's going to be very popular, but that's why, and that's fine to fade him. I don't love the lack of upside and the safety numbers like that. To me, that's not what I don't want cash game plays even for the price there, but that's why it's so easy to play the options like Scotty, because you have Bezuidenhout, you have Henley, you have all these options that are inside of a model. They should be 7,500 or greater, but somebody had to get pushed down.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's where you have to differentiate, Nick. Like it's going to be such a common build of Scheffler, Bezuidenhout, Henley. Like we're just going to see that over and over again.
And Benon's probably going to be one of the popular clicks in that space just due to form. I liked Benon a ton. He was like my sleeper for Augusta and the top 20 bet there too. To me, I'd rather play him at a course where missing fairways is not nearly as penal as what Pinehurst is likely going to be.
Benon, regardless of the ownership, I can't get off of him. And I think really the reason for that more than anything is so – as everybody knows, I run my model over a 2-year running perspective with it. But one of the things I like to add through some of these events is I like to take a much shorter term outlook of players in specific categories that are geared towards the venue. So driving distance for Benon inside the top 5 for me, driving accuracy outside of the top 75. But when you throw them specifically at courses that are going to be similar, so strokes gain off the tee at hard scoring, strokes gain off the tee when fairways present a penalty, strokes gain off the tee when you have these hazardous conditions that come into play. He's 15th in hard scoring, 20th where it becomes a little bit more like imperative that you find it, and then 9th when you throw in this really hazardous return to it. That put him 14th overall in my model. So I think if you just ran this from expected driving accuracy on any course, it's going to look terrible. When you gear it specifically for venues like this, and then you add the apex that he brings to the table, I kind of feel like Benon is going to top 10 this tournament and actually be around. I just can't get off of him at the ownership. This is to me where I keep saying at least Datagolf is the ones that pushed it. I guess like they're better than some people that could have been pushing this narrative, but they are correct in this.
All right. I'll play
up,
some of them.
Up to 52. We're working our way up, Nick.
Yeah, right. I love it. All right. 7K Thigala. What are your thoughts about Thigala? To me, I'd rather just pay for Thigala.
Yeah, I like Thigala.
Nice. Okay.
There's a lot of players that like Cameron Young, Lowry, like give me Thigala and I'm fine with the ownership there. Like just because somebody's owned, it doesn't mean like we can't remove every single player that's popular. You got to pick and choose your spots of where you're going to play some of the popular names.
For me, I guess the highest owned player that I'm playing, obviously outside of the top of the board, would be Thigala and Tom Kim.
Yeah.
So I like them. We'll go lower in the 7K range here. Sam Burns, I already spoke enough about him. Tom Kim, you all in?
I like Tom Kim. I don't see a massive difference, if I'm being honest, between Kim, Minwoo Lee, Sung J.M., Benon.
It's the hardest decision I had to make. That was what's left in my single entry build. That's what I sent you as what was left.
Yeah. If you're building out and you have 150 builds, like all of those players will be in when you're trying to condense it down. And that is a positive, by the way. Like I've given all the reasons on every show and article this week of why I love Minwoo Lee across the board, no matter how I'm trying to play this. So if I'm throwing guys like Benon and Sung Jae and Tom Kim into the mix there, and Jason Day, like I'll include Jason Day. And I know the market hates Jason Day, but if those names are making that sort of a section with Minwoo, where it's not becoming this just auto pick of Minwoo, it kind of just shows how valuable I think this section is in general.
Right. No doubt. Okay. Which I think is going to be, I mean, like you said, it fits Scotty a ton. I have Justin Rose in the player pool just for the low owned upside. I did like his ball striking over the past like 60 days. So I don't think there's a ton of upside with that, but just on the ownership side of things, I think he, if it's a course that's not requiring a ton of birdies, I think he could be fine in the bogey avoidance side of things.
I prefer him to like a Ricky Fowler if we're trying to directly compare.
No doubt.
And if you look at what Justin Rose, my model liked Justin Rose last week, and he imploded on Thursday. He got it together on Friday, but it was too little too late. I would throw that Thursday round out the window a little bit. Can't say that I necessarily love where Justin Rose is, but from a leverage answer, see, I'm so high on Minwoo that I still think he's leveraged no matter where we're getting here, just because my model thinks he should have been a $9,000 price golfer, and we're never going to get that here. So it's going to end up being leverage. But outside of Minwoo and I guess technically Dustin Johnson,
you like DJ, right?
I like DJ a lot. This is a position.
I have him in currently.
What ownership do you see on Dustin? I assume it's
4.
Low. Yeah, I have him at 5. And I gave this answer at the PGA Championship. And Dustin was disappointing there. But if you really look, he should have missed the cut. And he backdoored his way to what ended up becoming a top 50 finish. And you could argue for what that reason is at the end of the day of we haven't gotten results from him. You move to live, you take a bunch of money. A guy like Dustin Johnson needs the reps. We've seen that historically. A US Open, if there's any major out there where he consistently throughout his career at any point, no matter where he's at, no matter what's going on in his personal life, where he has continuously gone back to and found success, it's the US Open. He had a run there from, I mean, if you want to look at like Chambers Bay where he should have won that, and then he won it the next year and a little bit before that and a little bit after that. He was a top 5 machine over and over again. So really nice course fit for him where people aren't going to want to play him. It's almost, Nick, where like the PGA Championship was the last time anybody was willing to bite the bullet, and he didn't achieve a result that anybody felt super great about. I'm willing to go back another time here. And if we don't get the result that we want, we might need to have a discussion moving forward of what we actually need to do with Dustin. But sub 5%, like, look at his price tag. There was a time this guy would have been, put him with what's happening on the PGA Tour right now. 4 years ago, he's like Xander or Rory in this field. Like, that's what the price tag would have been.
Yeah, and he's a great driver of the golf ball. That's still there. I'm in. I think, like, again, for him, like, of course, that's not a birdie fest, is a perfect fit. Like, the PGA Championship probably wasn't, like, a great fit for his game and kind of who he is right now.
And like Jeff just said, like, Johnson, like, he's gone these days. And there's no ownership. It would be one thing if he was a $9,000 golfer that had 15, 20% ownership. The fact that nobody wants to play him, it's hard to find somebody. And maybe, yes, you are hoping that he turns back the clock a little bit, but that's something that I'm willing to do when some of the recent data, even specifically at these majors with how I ran it, I don't know if the results are as bad as the perception is.
Yep. I'm with you 100%. I'm glad you said that. 6K range. Let me see who I faded. I faded Sepp. I faded the fucking whole thing, it looks like. Which is kind of why I'm not playing Scotty too, because I don't want to fall into all these guys that are 8 to 12% in this range that I don't think are very good leverage in a million maker competition. Did fade Russ. That breaks my heart, but I'm sure he's going to close around 12 to 15%. He does every time. Burmeister? I'm seeing high ownership on Dean Burmeister. Are you seeing the same thing?
Yeah, he's definitely trending up.
I'm out. Harris English, I tried to talk myself into, couldn't get it. Don't like the just mixed range of ball striking that we're getting. Denny McCarthy, hard pass. Thomas Dietrich checks the apex box. I took him out at the last minute due to iron play. Austin Eckroat, I'm worried about his around the green. I think that, you know, he actually kind of held his water a little bit at Muirfield Village. I thought that would beat him up a lot more than it did. great driver of the golf ball. I'm not going to say much bad about him. Berger, we don't need to talk about. Billy Horschel is chalk that I faded. Probably a really good course fit, and his game's starting to turn back into form. But I see like 7-8% on Billy Horschel. I'll just take my chances with other guys in that area. Sepp Straka, I'm a hard pass on that. Other than that, like ownership wise, Adam Hadwin was kind of up there that I took out. Bezuidenhout, I'm just playing on principle. If he's going to be over 10% at 6,200, I don't think he's a part of the million maker lineup. So I'm just going to fade, but a great cash play. Guys that I was heavy on was Adam Scott. I'm seeing him at 3%. I think that he kind of not necessarily going to fill it up, but is safe enough to play very well here. I do like his driver. I like the increase in putting that we're seeing. Keegan Bradley in great form. Siwoo Kim, dude, I guess I always go overweight on Siwoo Kim, but team no putt. Are you worried about Siwoo at this course? Everything else is fantastic.
There were 15 golfers that graded inside of the top 50 of my model in every single category that I looked at. Every single one, I mean, they're pretty much all the favorites. There was one option that was outside or below the $7,000 range that made it. That was Siwoo Kim.
Yes, let's go. All right, Siwoo's in. I think a lineup with Siwoo and DJ can get me.
Dustin, ironically, whether you want to count these stats because, like, what are we actually getting from him? Where is he actually at with his game? That's a different argument to be had. But Dustin was one of those 15 also. It was like Siwoo, Sungjae, Ben On, Minwoo, Dustin. That was kind of that $7,000. I don't know what Tom Kim missed out on. I know he was very close, and they missed out because of the iron play. He was just a one-off in that category, or else he would have made it.
Fair. Okay. I don't get the day thing, but if you had to choose one, Hatton, Lowry, Thigala, go.
The Gala.
All right. I'm worried about his fairway ability. Other guys I was high on in the low sixes. What are your thoughts on Akshay? Back in North Carolina, obviously has the personal ties to Grayson Murray and everything like that. Like, it'd be awesome, awesome story. And I like Akshay. I think he's a really good player. And just, you know, once that around the green short game comes around, I feel like he's going to be a force to be reckoned with because he is a fantastic driver of the golf ball. Iron plays there, long iron plays there. I kind of like him if no one else does. Yeah. I was very surprised that he did that well at Muirfield. I know it's not like that well in that field with only 70 players or whatever it was, but his expected stats for me going into that tournament were way, way below what he actually did.
I think Ed kind of said it best. Like, the $6,000 range is way too popular with a lot of these options. And I like Bezuidenhout. That's probably where I get different from you, Nick, where I regardless of where the ownership is, I'm going to play him. Pretty much every other option that we have talked about that is going to be popular, I am willing to remove them from my player pool. So, like, really what the question becomes is, where is the contrarian nature of these builds? Who can you play that isn't going to be as popular than all these other names that are just going to be over and over again put into builds? I kind of thought Dietrich was intriguing. Akshay would technically be probably from an upside answer one of the best plays that to be considering in that section.
You like Power Sergio? Sergio. I kept Sergio in my player pool for what it's worth, just for the total driving.
Probably not. Like
Howard that I am.
I would probably rather play. Like, if we can get into that low $6,000 section, we're talking about some of those names. I like Pendrith. I like Jaeger. My model.
I like Jaeger, dude. I do. I don't mind Jaeger.
My model actually did like Webb Simpson.
I have Webb Simpson in my player pool.
Yeah. I almost lean towards...
He's hitting the ball well.
He is.
What about Victor Perez and Davis Thompson? We can't quit on Davis Thompson yet.
Davis Thompson is one of the best values for me. Perez, I'm probably out on him just because I still think he's going to be, it's not going to be like a massive number, but I still tend to think he's going to be a little bit too popular.
He started wearing a glove, which means a lot to me. I didn't like the no glove thing. That weirds me out. Lucas Glover too, out of the player pools for that. What about Cam Davis? Did we talk about him?
No, I was going to ask you about him. He's a positive value in my model, both against DraftKings pricing and against leverage, and he has upside in my model. So that's typically what I'm looking for. If you can check those three boxes as a long shot bet down the board or DFS play down the board, you typically can get my intrigue. And we know that he has certain skill sets that he can pop and really work his way up the leaderboard. So I almost would say, Nick, that the players that are sub 6,500, I guess, let's say, would more so be the options that I want. And the names that are 66 to 69, maybe outside of Keegan and Siwoo, and maybe Dietrich, like I'm almost fine getting rid of everybody else.
Okay. I'm pretty much there. I just have Adam Scott as well. I did keep Harmon, which is disgusting. I'm a douchebag.
I'm fine with Harmon. No, I'm more so like if I'm trying to find the players that I'm completely out on, Ekrot.
Yep.
I know we have been a Noren show historically. I'm going to say I am out on Noren this week.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I did not see that coming. I'm going to get more DJ.
Yeah.
And I could get off some Noren. I'm going to keep Noren in a couple just because we already went this far, but I don't mind it. Okay. Yeah. DJ, I don't know. I feel like he's just played a ton of golf too, which worries me.
He consistently.
Tom Hoagie? Any love for Tom Hoagie? I can never get that guy right. I think he has no upside, but he's probably a perennial cup maker here. And Adrian Meronk. Thoughts on Adrian?
My model doesn't have enough data to ever feel comfortable with Meronk. I think markets seem to like Meronk a little bit from what I've seen. So maybe you could sell me on that. Hoagie, kind of the answer that you gave. Better safety numbers than upside numbers. If you're going to move in the wrong direction for upside and also be a negative value against leverage and DK price, I'll be out.
All right. I don't mind fading Tom Hoagie. I'm cool with that. What about Tom McKibben? He was a guy I kept in just due to the ridiculous placement that he's having in the DP World Tour. Know nothing about him. Usually that works in my favor. So
I don't, to be honest with you, I don't have a take. Like, I don't have enough data to feel comfortable with it. So he's going to show negative, but I don't have a take one way or another.
Okay. Dietrich, I feel like we talked about everybody and no one's right. Don't do it with Harmon. I appreciate it, Ed. It needs to stop.
Let me
ask you. Do you like Akshay?
I do like Akshay.
Okay.
Akshay is one of the better.
What about Nick Taylor? His ball striking, I think, is somewhat on the rise and he's going to be 1%.
I'd probably rather play.
In Poston.
Probably rather play Cameron Davis than Nick Taylor. I'd probably rather play. Let me give you an option which there's a little bit more ownership, and I assume you're going to be out because of this reason. Mackenzie Hughes?
Out.
You know what's funny, Nick? And I'm not going as far as to say that he's in my player pool, but as right as I've been about Wyndham Clark, I feel like my take on Mackenzie Hughes, when I have on him, he always...
It works every time.
And every single time I fade him, he misses the cut. I don't have a strong take one way or another. I just thought the price was interesting, but he really does deliver another one of those very similar answers that we've talked about with a lot of these guys where better safety numbers, the upside moves in the wrong direction, and the popularity, while not necessarily high, I've consistently seen this moving upwards over the last 12 hours or so.
Okay, so you like him.
As of right now, if you made me pick a side, I would say I'm in on him. This isn't a strong take one way or another, though, but enough so where he was a positive value for me.
Okay. Good to know.
I, by the way, I don't know what to do with Kitayama. Like, I guess I'm just out.
Yeah. Here are the 5K guys that I'm playing. Takumi Kanaya, just because I've always kind of played this guy, and his long irons, lack of data, but grade really well for me, so take that for an absolute grain of sand. Adam Svensson, just because I can't quit him. I've never got him right. The opposite of Spencer and Mac Hughes is me with Svensson. Mac Meisner, I still believe sure. this dude's just an awesome player. I kept Nick Dunlap in, and then my top 40 hammer kid, Richard Manziel, our boy Dickie.
Money Manziel.
That's right, Money Manziel. I'm going to play a decent bit of him. He is in way too many hand builds on Monday morning, which I decided like that's going to be my DP World Tour guy that I believe in with his sand save ability, short game, great driving of the golf ball, ball striking, everything's there besides a putter. But the three-putt avoidance over the past 3 years has gotten insanely better for him in the DP World Tour. So I just think he's a misprice for the talent that he is.
There are, what is this? Six.
It's
or
like
seven?
You mix Lynx golf with like Midwest tree line fairway stuff. And so, I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of home in North Carolina for him.
These are the four, five, six, seven. These are the seven players that against their draft, and this is not taking ownership into account, but these are the seven players for me that I had the most value on when we're trying to dart throw down the board here. Christian Bezuidenhout was number one. He was the most mispriced player. I think there's a reason why the ownership has trended in that direction. Yes. Mac Meisner was number two.
Hey, oh, all right.
Steven Yeager was three. Taylor Pendrith was four. Lucas Glover was five. And I know Lucas Glover burned the entire industry of anybody who listened to me on Glover last week, but
I'm done with him.
I think the whole world is, but you can sell me back on him.
No.
Gordon Sargent and Webb Simpson.
I looked at Gordon. I do like Webb. I looked at Gordon for a little bit. I had a hard time figuring it out. So I just went with the no. I have no data on him. Looked at the Masters.
I have limited data also.
He tore it up, but
sometimes
what about Hubs? Any thought on Hubs?
My model liked him. He was, if you want to go down like a couple more names and
yeah, what else you got?
I'm just saying like he would be a positive value based off of that list of seven I was giving. Like he's not too dissimilar to a lot of those options. Like Russell Henley would have been next. Minwoo Lee, Davis Thompson. I guess the name that I actually will throw out there if we're looking for somebody that kind of fits into that Hubbard range for me, Adam Schenck.
Dude, he is so bad right now.
That's the problem.
He has been horrible. Since Augusta, I think, is when I may have played him then just because of Bencrest Greens. He has been... Well, he finished T13 at Byron Nelson, which is a pretty good finish at that tournament. That's a tough spot. Terrible since then.
You know, Nick, when we look at this and we go back throughout time, I've given up on my fantasy team in the league with you, but I offered you
a lineup. Thank you for that.
I offered you a trade for Adam Schenck that will go down as one of the worst declines that anybody's ever made in the history of life.
Who did you offer again?
Well, I mean, I have my fingers crossed that I will get
Don't
myself
you want Ben kicked
on. Well, I was. I hope I get myself kicked out of the league for this, like by giving this answer. So, if Tommy's listening, please remove me. That's all I'm asking for right now. But I think I offered Ryan Fox. It was like a 4 or 5 player package plus $20.
And the side money.
Yeah. And the side money that hopefully will get me kicked out of the league. Rio.
You could have Schenck if you want him now.
I probably need him. I offered Rio. I think it was Rio Fox. Cause I didn't have like, this isn't because I believed in him necessarily. I don't have enough players for these elevated events. And every single week I find myself picking up Brant Snedeker and the Minwoo Lee pick has not worked out. And the Nikolai Højgaard pick has really not worked out. So, maybe Minwoo works out for this tournament, but that's the reason why I don't have enough player for these elevated events ever. And
you got a good roster this week.
This week, I'm better. It's funny. I'm better in major championships and I'm better in your run of the mill events. These elevated events, I'm dead every single week. I work myself up the leaderboard in every other tournament. And then I implode once we get to an elevated event. During the Genesis, I forget what the kid's name was and he made the cut, which credit to him. I had to play some random guy in that tournament that was like the sponsor exemption into it. That's what these weeks have been for me every single time.
To the kid. Who's the kid? Chase Johnson.
Chase Johnson. That's exactly who it was. I had to pick up Chase Johnson, and I'm just scrambling for players. It's not a good look.
Yeah. Last guy, SH Kim. I don't like the Aaron play. But
I have
grades
no...
as a short game guru, so I won't talk you off it.
If you guys
are in.
I'm indifferent. I do think options like him and Justin Lauer are probably values from where they're priced. You could do a lot worse than names like that. I'm also not necessarily super aggressively trying to back any of them.
Respect. All right. That's all I got.
You want to give me the winner for this tournament? Is it Scotty? Is it somebody else?
Tommy Fleetwood gets it done. My numbers love him.
Yeah, my numbers love them also. I gave a very, as a person who didn't have a Tommy Fleetwood ticket this week, I feel like I gave a very impassioned speech for why everybody should consider Tommy Fleetwood.
I did appreciate that.
I tend to think he's one of the best values on the board, which is a weird answer to give for a golfer that I don't have on my card and has never won on the PGA Tour. So take all of that for what it's worth. I will say, I don't love the news that Scotty broke on us here of Rory McIlroy. I almost want to now say Xander ends up winning this, and after not winning a major, goes back to back in these things. But
that'd be awesome. I'd be very excited if he did.
I'll go Xander, I guess, based off of just to be a little bit different, because I feel like Rory is such a consensus answer at this point, where it's the right people that are on that. Because I do have the outright ticket myself, and I know you do also, Nick. I think it makes a lot of sense, but I have heard nobody give Xander and kind of a spot to get different.
Love it. All right. I think people still don't respect him.
I would agree. It's one of those things where the value, if you add one or two more, give him the Players Championship. Give him the Players Championship and then give him the PGA Championship. And I bet you this number would have opened at 8 or 9.
Yep. I agree 100%. He's the second favorite in my numbers.
Yeah. Yeah, him and Rory are very close, but that's kind of where the gap is, them and then everybody else beneath. Oh, we haven't really talked much. I just want to at least have this conversation. I know you mentioned him for a second. I know both of us were very intrigued on Ludvig Åberg. Neither one of us got to him inside of the outright market.
I was very close at 22. I was very close at 22, but when I did Rory and who... Oh, when I had... It was either Rory and Fleetwood or... Rory, and I can't get Finau if I do this. So I lose the Finau ticket if I play Rory and Ludvig.
I priced myself out by going Rory and Xander up top. The two players that were the closest to my card that I removed would be Fleetwood and Åberg. So with you on the Åberg answer of him being like the nearest miss I had, and then Fleetwood... If you're correct on it, at least I can stomach that fact that one of the two of us will have the ticket, because I do legitimately believe, regardless of whatever he ends up doing this week, I tend to believe he is a legitimate top 12 win equity candidate in this tournament. And the public isn't going to believe that with the lack of upside we've seen. So anywhere in that 40 to plus range makes a lot of sense. And I don't know if you have access to like Bet Online or Bovada or any of those books, Nick, but
I got Bet Online.
I don't know if he still is, but Åberg this morning was 25-1 there.
Oh, okay. Let me pull that up as we are on. I'm still like kind of breaking my 25-1 on Bovada and Bet Online.
Yeah, so I think it's a good number.
I think Circa had him at 20 flat too, which I appreciate. Like I like to see who they're relatively like the risk is on, and I would assume if they're lowering his number already, then they're taking some respected action on him.
Yeah, that and I like to see where Bookmaker usually has. Let me see where Bookmaker has him out of curiosity. 19.5. So there you go. I had proper at around 22. That injury concern, I guess, and just with me going aggressively towards the top. There's no world I can take all three of those, but Åberg is a very intriguing play.
I'm with it. Oh, I thought I just had the Millie Maker ticket, but I don't. Fuck, this is tough. DJ, like playing DJ just gets you so out of the comfort zone. And I think that's a great thing, but yeah. It's tough to stomach. Cause then this lineup leaves me with 6,800. Oh, Cebu.
Probably.
Just lock it in. I'd rather leave money on the table though, but all right, Cebu, go get him. All right. Well, have a great night. Appreciate you hopping on. Unless you had another question.
Let me just say one thing to that. When you leave a lot of money on the table, and I don't think you're leaving enough money to really give this answer here, but like the way to play Bezadenhout for me, kind of where I'm trying to go when I fit him into builds, is if you leave a lot of extra money on the table, you naturally make yourself different just based off of that answer. So do not be afraid to leave extra funds on the board this week. That is going to be how you can differentiate a lot of these builds that are going to be maybe a little bit chalkier in spots that you would normally want to be. So just a parting little thought for everybody out there, that just because you're playing chalk doesn't mean that you can't get away from it in a different direction. But you can find Nick on Twitter at StixPicks. I'm at TOffSports. As we always talk about, if you ever have any questions from any perspective, DFS betting, anything like that, please feel free to reach out to us. And then use the code BGP to get a $250 match bonus over on Underdog. The site is buzzing with everything that you want with all of those increased contests that they have with the pick eight and all of that. So if you're not doing so already, sign up with the code BGP. We would greatly appreciate that. Thanks again for all the support everyone shows us out there. And we will see you guys back here next week for another Elevated event.
NetCredit is here to say yes, because you're more than a credit score. Apply in minutes and get a decision as soon as the same day. Loans offered by NetCredit or lending partner banks and serviced by NetCredit. Application subject to review and approval. Learn more at netcredit.com/partners. NetCredit. Credit to the people.
Is hot sleep keeping you awake? The Tempur-Pedic Breeze mattress pulls heat away from your body, so it feels up to 10 degrees cooler. Shop our July 4th sale to save $500 on Breeze mattresses at Tempur-Pedic.com.
She said, get out the chat room and clean my Glad Stretch. Feeling fine, so fresh.
The Glad Girl Group coming at you with a throwback jam. That was Glad Force Flex Drawstring Trash Bags featuring Pine Sol Original Scent. And that's better than all good. It's all Glad.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture, and the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.